Hello and welcome to the Bellingham Real Estate Podcast. I'm Paul Balzotti. This is episode 2. I'm here with Hunter Schenck. Today we're talking about real estate investing, real estate flipping, and cash flow. So a great subject. We got a young investor here who has a great portfolio to talk to. So how old are you, Hunter?
26 years old.
Young buck, but killing it in investing. So Let's get right into what's your portfolio in investing?
So currently I own 10 rental properties and I've done 4 flips in the last year.
So 10 rental properties, 4 flips, and you're 26 years old. That's super impressive. You've been a realtor for a year, right?
Yep.
With John Scott. So happy work anniversary.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. It's been great.
And let's get right into the flips. So what kind of success have you seen with your flips and the 4 you did this year?
Sure. So we've had great success. 3 out of 4 of them have been over 6-digit profits. And nice. The one that was not was a mobile home, which was a lower barrier to entrance.
Yep.
To get that deal and to do it. But it was a great start to really get into it. And
yeah.
Great opportunity.
Yeah, that's really impressive. Mobile homes can be great because they're not only lower price, but I've worked with investors to buy mobile homes because they like the predictability of the remodel, because with a manufactured home, it's a lot easier to predict.
Yeah, they're pretty basic.
Yeah, what the repairs are going to be. And as opposed to, let's say, a 1910 Craftsman, you're getting into it. There's a lot more kind of unknowns.
Sure.
So you've had success with mobile homes and stick-built.
Yep.
On all 4, you've done really well. So congratulations on that. If you're an investor or just getting going, how are you finding these deals? Because that's a lot of success and people really feel like you can't find those kind of deals in this market.
Yeah. So some of the first deals I found were from just talking to everybody, telling them I was looking for something to buy for an investment property. Mm-hmm. And that was the first way, just by word of mouth. I was talking to someone I didn't know and he ended up having a house he wanted to sell to me. And then other ways have been through driving around and looking at houses that were beat up and writing them notes or different things to talk to them, see if they want to sell their house.
So you're literally just, what about the MLS? You said the MLS as well.
I've also bought a couple deals on the MLS and they've been just as good.
Okay. So that's a good reminder I wanted to point out. You can find deals on the MLS.
Yeah. And finding deals on the MLS, the real important part is finding a good agent
who's
willing to find those deals for you and make offers that you're wanting to make. You'll find agents that say, oh, they're not going to take that offer. That won't be good enough. But it never hurts to make an offer.
Right.
An offer that you're comfortable with making that work for your numbers.
Well, that's a good point, because a lot of realtors, quite frankly, don't really like working with investors because it's more work, because they do have to write more offers.
Sure.
And that's more work for them and get turned down. But you're right. If you put the extra effort into trying to find the deals, making the offers, because you never know. Sometimes people do get motivated, especially if it was overpriced to start and then it starts to get reduced and it's a fixer home. Sometimes they do take offers that you wouldn't expect right off the MLS, even in a hot market.
Yeah, and I've even made money off competing with people on the MLS. Mm. I think there was 5 or 6 offers on the last deal I bought, and I still made great money on it, beating out those offers.
Right, okay, so it was priced right. That's good. And then finding the off-market deals.
Sure.
Because people don't even know are you writing letters or what are you?
Yeah. So like I kind of was saying, I drive around and I look for houses that are beat up. They might have tarps on the roof or the lawn's overgrown or whatever it may be. I'll write down the address and then I'll go home. And a lot of times I leave a note on their door, but if I don't feel like getting out, I'll just go home and search their address and figure out who owns the house. And then I can find their phone number and give them a call.
So you're not going on Zillow and looking at a foreclosed or, you see these lists where people think that there's foreclosed homes that they could find on Zillow or on HUD homes and stuff like that. A lot of that is kind of junk.
Yeah, I've never had luck with that ever.
Yeah, and so you're literally just driving by fixer homes.
Yeah, they call it driving for dollars, basically.
Okay.
That's what they call it. You're driving looking for deals.
So you're literally, you just drive and look for fixers, and then you're mailing or calling. You talked about how you make the phone calls.
There's a website I use called True People Search, and basically you type in an address or a name and then it will give you that person a list of phone numbers that person's been associated with, and sometimes you kind of have to go through them and just keep calling and try to get
hold of someone. True People Search, and that's free.
Yep, it's free.
So you call, you write them a note, you do both.
Yep.
What's the conversion rate as far as how many times you have to call people before you're actually getting responses?
Yeah, so it's not great, but you have to put in a lot of work. Hustle. Yep, you have to be willing to make a lot of phone calls, and you have to get over the fear of calling people and getting rejected, because there is success.
Right.
And the success is great, so you just got to be willing to put in that work.
So would you say one out of every how many before you, like, so far?
Maybe like one out of 10 will actually answer or get back to you if you leave them a message.
How many are just telling you to go take a hike?
Most of them. So that's most of them. Yeah.
Yeah. So. But so you have to deal with that a little bit too.
Yeah.
And then one out of 10 will respond.
We'll respond. And then maybe one out of 50 might be interested in meeting up and talking about.
So that sounds like really kind of any kind of prospecting, any kind of sales, just like business, anything else. Really. So one out of 10 will respond. Mm-hmm. And then you're saying out of somebody who responds and is willing to talk, maybe one out of 5 of those will take an appointment with you, and you might actually be able to write them an offer.
Yep.
So, okay. So you're doing that. You're driving for dollars and checking the MLS.
Yep.
Financing. Because let's talk about financing, because people, they see these infomercials, books that are how to buy houses with zero down, how to flip houses, how to make money with no money. It is possible, right?
Yeah.
But, and how have you done it with 4 flips and 10 investments at 26 years old?
Yeah. So I've used kind of a few different ways to buy properties. I actually never really used traditional financing because it's really hard to get a loan on a fixer with traditional financing.
Sure.
So I've used owner financing before, which is where the owner, if they own the house outright, they can carry the note and basically you make payments to them.
But if for owner financing, they do have to either own it outright, usually.
Yeah, there's a couple ways around it, but I've only done it if they own it outright.
So if they tell you they own it outright, you could look into owner financing with them.
Sure.
Or if they just owe very little and you're going to essentially pay that off.
Sure. Yep. The most common way I get financing is through hard money or private lenders.
Mm-hmm. And so let's talk about what hard money is, who these private lenders are, and how you're doing that.
Yeah, so I use a couple different hard money lenders that are in Washington State. They're people who basically pool money from other investors who just want to lend their money to people who want to flip homes or buy rentals at a high interest rate. Sure. So they just get their return over a short period of time.
Are they heavy on the fees or just on the upfront fees, or is it mainly?
It really depends who you use. Sure, I mean, there's so many different ones. The easier ones to use, sometimes they have more fees.
Yeah.
And then the ones who are cheaper to use tend to want a little bit more from you, like
upfront.
Yeah, and appraisals and lots of different things like that.
Right, right. So you're bringing them, you're going to them and saying, I have a deal. And then if it's a good enough deal, you could essentially have zero down, right?
Yeah. So they want to find a good deal. If they know the deal's good enough, I mean, if you default, they basically get that property.
Right.
Right. Because they bought it. So as long as they know they can make money if you were to default on it.
Right.
But yeah, basically you find a property, you do your research saying, hey, you know, this is how much I need to put into it. Maybe you bring a contractor with you and you write that down for them. And then you say, this is how much it's going to get. And as long as those numbers work and there's a good enough profit, then they're willing to loan you money.
Okay. And then you told me before that the best lenders that are easiest to work with, it's about 15% down. And that's actually less than I thought. I've always in the past told people that, you know, 25% down. But that's really more still talking more the conventional portfolio type loans. But you have a hard money lender that with 15% down will actually make it pretty easy, right?
Yeah. So my favorite hard money lender I use here in Washington State, they're out of Seattle or Bellevue. They're 15% down and they're strict to that. Other ones will work. I've done one with 10% down, but they take a little bit more work to do that.
Cash flow versus flipping. Sure. So what's you have 10 rentals, you've done 4 flips. How do you approach buying for cash flow differently than buying for flip?
So it's flipping. It's a totally different game. I really flip so I can make profits to buy things with cash flow. But when I'm looking at the deal, you can run the numbers and see, you know, if I was to rent this out, how much could I make? And if I was to flip this, how much would I make? And then you kind of got to decide what your goals are.
Right.
So if your goals for cash flow, you know, if you want to make, say, $200 a month net on each unit, then if it meets that perimeter, you can buy it. But if it doesn't, you could flip it and then take that money and buy a different cash flowing property.
And the reason why you would essentially be flipping to build up liquidity, to build up more cash to be able to then buy more rentals is because obviously part of your cash flow is dictated by how much debt you're taking up against it. So if you have a high interest rate loan or any interest rate loan on it, so you're saying that way you can flip, then turn around and buy things with 50% down or buy things cash and then truly have that much more cash flow.
Yeah, exactly. Flipping is a job.
Right.
Buying rental apartments is passive income. And okay. That's what we want is passive income.
Right, right. So you're kind of flipping to get in a better position to have more cash flow rentals.
Sure.
Yep. Which makes all the sense in the world. Okay. And, you know, I want to talk about kind of flipping in this market because it's funny because people will say to me, I've felt this way myself sometimes, is this is a really hard market to invest in. Well, of course, it's a difficult market to invest in because there's a lot of people that want to invest when it's a hot market. But the alternative is the market's going the other direction. And really, in a lot of ways, it does make the most sense to buy flips when the market is hot because that means prices are going up.
Exactly.
And yeah. So do you want to buy and try to flip something when prices are going up, or do you want to try to buy something when prices are going down?
Yeah, exactly.
And so, you know, you've probably made part of your money on those flips.
Yeah,
based on the fact that things are still going up.
A lot of money, you know, I would guess that I was going to make this much and it turned out to be a lot more because of the appreciating market.
Right, right. I mean, and you still have to build in those margins to be more conservative. You can't, you never want to essentially, and I know you know this, but I'm just kind of talking out loud here, that you don't ever want to buy counting on appreciation.
Sure. And I know investors who have, but I definitely don't do that personally.
Yeah, that's not the way you want to invest, based on a flat, essentially.
Sure. Yeah.
But in a hot market, prices are going up, so that matters. Okay. So, and then also people say, you know, I know you own properties in other states too.
Correct.
So people talk about, you know, why would I buy in Bellingham? It's so expensive. The cash flow is not as good as other areas. Let's talk about buying cash flow properties in this market versus other markets.
Yeah. So, I mean, like we talked about before, you have to put more down initially to have cash flow here. But what I really look for here, or what you can really look for, is that appreciation factor. In hotter markets, you look to invest for appreciation, where, you know, you can make a lot more money essentially, because like this year it went up 20%, you know, give or take. Mm-hmm. So you made 20% instead of what you would have made cash flow, which might be a smaller number.
So the cap rate, capitalization rate. Sure. So like in Seattle, it's 4%.
Sure.
Bellingham, let's say 5% on average. Hopefully it'd be a good, and then you go out in the county, it's 6%, 7%, 8%. You've bought in other markets that are higher. Like, what'd you say that?
Yeah, like over 10% easily.
Over 10%.
Yeah.
So, but those are in areas where real estate's kind of,
it's a little harder for sure. You're spending a lot more time managing those properties.
Right.
And, you know, fixing things up and
dealing
and with different things that
they're
come
in
with,
kind of markets that are tougher.
Yeah. And they're not appreciating
very
much. So when it comes time to sell, it's not as easy of a sell. If you put something on the market here, it's, you know, boom, as long as it's priced right. But there it might take a little longer.
Yeah. So it is that just kind of almost a chart where you're using to kind of go, okay, what is my priority? Do I want to have less cash flow to be in the most prime market, a little bit better cash flow to be in a pretty good market, or be in a kind of a stale, stagnant economy, part of the country or state that has better cash flow, but the home isn't necessarily going to perform as well long term?
Yeah, exactly.
Or apartment or whatever.
So you just really have to decide what you want.
Right.
You know, figure out what you need.
Yeah, that makes sense. So I wanted to also ask you, you know, what kind of, have you made any mistakes along the way?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I think my biggest mistakes have been in flipping, hiring certain contractors that don't do what they say they're going to do. You know, I've had experiences where they said they're going to do something, they act like they're doing it, and then they just disappear.
Yeah.
And then you lose a whole bunch of money. You got to find a new contractor to go and fix those mistakes and to do what you wanted originally.
Mm-hmm.
So you lose a lot of money there.
Yeah, so you're your own general contractor essentially when you're doing these flips, and so hiring right makes a big deal. And are you now kind of learning? Are you essentially kind of hiring, paying more now just to make? I mean, how are you trying to handle that? Or you just have to keep going through guys until you find the right people?
I mean, hiring is so important. I have learned, at first I was hiring just you know, who could get this done the cheapest.
Right.
But as we all know, you can't, you know, get the best of both worlds, getting it done right and get it done cheap. You kind of got to find that in between. And I've looked at, you know, my best bet has been finding people who have referred really good contractors that they've used. And I've hired them and they may cost more, but they get the job done and done right the first time. Yeah. You lose a lot of money and time
if somebody screws it up. Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, that is all really, really good stuff. And thank you for joining us, Hunter. I think this has been hopefully helpful to anybody considering investing. You can reach out to Hunter because part of your passion for getting into real estate was to help other people as well, right?
Exactly. I think everybody should be investing in real estate. I love to help people find deals. My favorite thing is finding deals.
Right.
That's what I love to do.
Yeah.
Love to help anybody find deals.
Love it. Love it. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe to John L. Scott Bellingham. If you're watching this on YouTube, if you're listening to the podcast, please subscribe and even rate it. If you're willing to give it a 5-star rating, that'd be amazing. And thank you, Keith Zackel. He's a realtor at John L. Scott, who's also helping with production. he's not happy. And again, thanks, Hunter. Cheers, guys.